Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're getting into something that seems pretty straightforward on the surface, but really isn't: moving these massive jack-up oil rigs.
Yeah, exactly. People see them move, but the process itself, it's complex.
We've got this detailed risk analysis, and the aim is to really unpack how things can go wrong, how stability or control gets lost during these moves.
And it's not always, you know, the huge dramatic capsizing event you might imagine.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's much more subtle.
Right. Things building up across the whole operation.
Precisely. From prepping to leave one spot, the actual transit, maybe floating, maybe towed, then lowering the legs, jacking up, preloading the foundations, right until it's secure.
And the analysis suggests moving is actually riskier than drilling. That's kind of surprising.
It often is, statistically speaking. There are just so many transition phases.
So this loss of stability or control, it's the main worry. And it's usually a chain reaction, not one single failure.
That's generally the case. You might have, say, the spud cans, the feet slamming down hard in heavy seas as the legs are lowered. That's one example.
Or that rack phase differential thing you mentioned, RPD.
Exactly, RPD, where one leg starts taking way more load than the others because of uneven seabed or maybe a jacking system issue. It puts huge stress on the structure.
It really is a balancing act, especially in those moments when it's not quite floating, but not quite fixed either.
Those in-between states are definitely the trickiest.
Okay, so the analysis points to a few key areas. Bad weather, unstable seabeds, problems with the jacking systems themselves.
Yeah, human error, collisions, and even taking on water during wet tows. Each one has layers of risk.
Let's start with weather. Seems obvious, but how bad can it get?
Well, wind, waves, currents. If they exceed what the rig's designed to handle during any part of the move, you've got a serious hazard.
So prevention is key. Things like site-specific forecasts.
Absolutely. Really detailed Metocean analysis for that exact spot, using weather routing services for the transit, and having super strict go-no-go weather limits in the rig move procedure, the RMP.
Those are the barriers to stop it happening. How do they spot trouble brewing?
Onboard monitoring systems are crucial. Check in the weather, rig motion, regular forecast updates too.
But ultimately, it comes down to someone making the call based on those limits.
Exactly. That human decision, sticking to the go-no-go criteria, that's the critical control.
Yeah.
When incidents happen, it often traces back to maybe not sticking to procedure or a tough judgment call under pressure.
Okay, shifting down below the waves now. The seabed, that sounds like a massive variable.
It really is. You can have unexpected conditions like punch-through.
Punch-through.
Yeah, where a leg suddenly penetrates a hidden weak layer of soil much deeper than expected. Or just sinking too fast, hitting an uneven patch, scour around the legs, even sliding.
Wow. So how do you even begin to prevent that?
It starts with a very thorough site-specific geotechnical assessment, the SSA. Basically mapping the seabed soil layers with things like soil borings. There are industry standards for this, like ISO 19905-1.
And they calculate how deep the leg should go.
Yes. Leg penetration analysis, punch-through risk assessments, choosing the right spud can design for the expected soil, careful positioning, and then controlled preloading.
Preloading. Putting weight on the legs carefully.
Right. Sometimes in stages, maybe even while the hull is still slightly in the water. For four-legged rigs, they might preload alternate pairs of legs.
But you said it's hard to predict perfectly, so monitoring is vital.
Absolutely critical.
Yeah.
Constantly watching leg loads, penetration depth, the level and trim of the hull, and that RPD again.
And if something starts to go wrong, like a punch-through starts?
Emergency stop on jacking, differential jacking to try and level things, rapid ballast adjustments, specific punch-through recovery steps in the RMP. Real-time monitoring is everything because the seabed can always surprise you.
Makes sense. Now, the jacking system itself, the machinery lifting the whole rig, what fails there?
You can have mechanical failures, electrical issues, hydraulic problems, anything that leads to uncontrolled leg movement or just stops it from jacking.
Prevention sounds like good engineering and maintenance.
Definitely. Rigorous design and certification, a solid preventative maintenance schedule, function tests before every move, competent crew, and systems to prevent overloading. They even test prototype gears at 150% load.
And detection. How do they know if a jack is acting up?
RPD monitoring is a big one again. It can indicate uneven loading or a system fault. Also watching motor currents, hydraulic pressures, leg position sensors, speed alarms, even temperature.
And the controls if a failure happens?
Emergency stops, automatic brakes,
yeah.
Mechanical locks called rack chocks, especially vital for ocean tows. Plus, procedures for jacking, even if some components have failed, isolating faults, maybe even manual brake operation in a real emergency.
Let's talk human factors. Mistakes happen. How does that fit in?
It's a huge factor. Yeah. Simple mistakes or deliberately deviating from procedures during really critical tasks.
So prevention means good procedure.
Yes. A comprehensive R&P with clear checklists. But also ensuring people are competent, well-trained, maybe using simulators, pre-move briefings, job safety analyses, designing controls with human use in mind.
Things like managing fatigue too, I imagine.
Definitely. And analyzing safety critical tasks to see where errors might creep in.
How do you catch errors in the moment?
Independent verification of critical steps, active supervision, permit to work systems, those checklists again, and encouraging team members to cross-monitor each other, crew resource management principles.
And what if someone does see something wrong?
Stop work authority is crucial. Anyone should feel empowered to halt the job if they see an unsafe condition. Plus, clear escalation procedures, regular emergency drills, and having contingency plans ready. Fundamentally, you need a good safety culture where reporting issues isn't punished, but seen as vital for learning.
Okay, two more big ones. Collision risk during transit.
Yeah, hitting other vessels, platforms, maybe underwater pipelines, or just hazards while maneuvering close to shore.
Prevention seems like good seamanship.
Pretty much. Passage planning, ensuring the tow vessel is up to the job, clear communication protocols, competent bridge team and tow master, safe speeds, using pilots where needed, maybe aiming for daylight for tricky parts.
Detection relies on standard navigation tools.
Right. Radar, AIS, electronic charts, visual lookout, vessel traffic services, maybe proximity alarms, constant position checking.
Controls.
Following the rules of the road, coal rigs. Having emergency towing gear ready, using dynamic positioning if the rig have it, respecting safety zones around installations, maybe emergency anchoring if possible. Distraction on the bridge is a key vulnerability to manage.
Lastly, wet toes towing the rig while it's floating. Leaks must be a big worry.
Huge. Water ingress means loss of stability, potentially very quickly.
So preparation is everything.
Thorough pre-tow inspections, sealing all openings, checking hull condition, detailed stability calculations for the tow, both intact and assuming some damage. Also minimizing liquids on board, securing deck cargo, respecting the load line, capping off pipes on the hull.
And how do you know if you are taking on water?
Regular checks of tank levels and void spaces soundings. Bilge alarms, ingress detection systems, closely watching the rig's trim, list, and freeboard. Some rigs have hull stress monitors, too.
And if the worst happens?
You need a damage control plan and equipment-ready emergency pumps. Knowing how to isolate flooded compartments and contingency plans for severe flooding, including communication with the tugs and shore support. Some analysis suggests older damage stability rules might not be quite enough, making these operational checks even more critical.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to manage. It really highlights how many moving parts, literally and figuratively, are involved in just shifting one rig.
It is incredibly complex. Success relies on having multiple robust barriers. Technical ones like the jacking system design, human ones like training and procedures, and procedural ones like the RMP itself, and crucially making sure those barriers are maintained and effective.
So it's about ongoing checks, performance standards for critical equipment, maintenance, reviewing procedures, audits.
Exactly. And external checks too, like marine warranty surveyors providing oversight.
It really drives home the need for constant vigilance and learning in these operations. You know, it makes you think, which of these areas, which barriers, might be the most stretched or need the most focus in the industry today? Something to consider. Thanks for this deep dive.
My pleasure. It's a critical area.